Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the former DUP leader is found guilty of historic sex offences against two women when they were children. Geoffrey Donaldson will be sentenced in September. There have been significant updates today in relation to healthcare services across Inishowen. We'll hear from a local councillor in Buncrana. The junior sports minister pays tribute to the teenager who lost his life in a fatal incident during the Donegal International Rally on Saturday. And a 32-year-old man is to go forward for trial at Central Criminal Court in Dublin, charged with the murder of Stephen McCahill in Ardra on the 5th of January this year. Later, Chris Ashmore is at the sports desk. That's coming up at around about 6:15, but we begin with the verdict at Newry Crown Court this afternoon. Former DUP leader Geoffrey Donaldson found guilty of historic sex offences against two women when they were children. A jury at Newry Crown Court convicted him of 18 crimes, including one count of rape between 1985 and 2008. The 63-year-old had repeatedly denied the allegations. His wife, Eleanor Donaldson, faced a trial of the facts and was found to have committed five counts of aiding and abetting her husband. Jamie O'Hara was at Newry Crown Court.
Geoffrey Donaldson gave no reaction as the foreman confirmed each of the guilty verdicts in Court 1 of the courthouse in Newry just after 2:15. The jury returned their verdict after 10 hours of deliberations at the start of the fifth week of the trial. Eleanor Donaldson was deemed unfit to take part in the trial, faced a trial of the facts and cannot be criminally convicted. Judge Paul Ramsey set a sentencing date for the end of September and remanded Geoffrey Donaldson in custody. He ordered he be placed on the sex offenders register and asked the prison service staff to take Mr. Donaldson down.
Current DUP leader Gavin Robinson says no one is above the law.
That Geoffrey Donaldson's lies and his cover-ups have been uncovered, and the spotlight of justice shone upon them should serve as a reminder that perpetrators cannot outrun justice.
There have been significant updates this afternoon in relation to healthcare services across Inishowen. Discussions focused on developments at Buncrana Community Hospital and the Sleaf Schnacht Centre followed a meeting earlier. With more, here's Donna Marie Doherty.
Tenders for the long-awaited redevelopment of Buncrana Community Hospital are expected to be issued within the next 8 days. The update followed a meeting this afternoon between the Health Service Executive and local representatives regarding the project, which had originally been due to begin at this time last year. Councillor Fiona Bradley says construction is now expected to get underway before the end of the year. Plans currently are to provide for 30 registered beds, although the building works will accommodate up to 36, with hopes the additional 6 beds can be approved at a later stage. It's yet to be confirmed how the beds will be divided between short-term and long-term care, though it's understood an even split is likely.
Meanwhile, day service provision at the Sleaf Schnacht Centre was also discussed, with recruitment now actively underway to increase capacity there by 150%. Councillor Fiona Bradley says it was confirmed that 20 service users will soon be able to access the expanded supports.
Yes, and I'm delighted to be able to confirm that that capacity is going to be increased substantially. So, as you've rightly said at the minute, we're facilitating 8 service users on 4 days in a week in the Sleaf Schnacht Centre. That capacity is going to more than double to 20. So we will now have 20 service users 4 days a week, and the process of enabling that to happen and recruitment of additional staff is now undergoing and underway, and we hope to have that in place in the very near future. And also, there has been a firm commitment that the HSE are right now actively looking at alternative sites and locations for the day services so that they can be brought back into the town of Buncrana, and indeed ultimately, eventually in the long term, have a day services centre built here, most likely on site at Buncrana Community Hospital, to rehouse the day services within the campus that we have here.
The junior sports minister has paid tribute to the teenager who lost his life in a fatal incident during the Donegal International Rally on Saturday. 15-year-old Tadhg Callaghan Carter has been remembered as a passionate young sports fan, with tributes describing him as a talented Gaelic football player and a well-loved teenager. His funeral will take place on Wednesday. Minister Charlie McConnellogue says Saturday's incident will be fully investigated, with a particular emphasis on looking at how to prevent such a tragedy from happening again.
It's a really low moment for the county, and I think everyone across the county is in mourning as to the tremendous loss of young Tadhg Callaghan Carter, and I know everyone's thoughts across the county are with all of his family and his friends, and at such a difficult and unimaginable time for all of them, and all of our thoughts and prayers are with them at this really difficult time, and also with his two friends who were injured, for them to make a full recovery.
Meanwhile, the organiser of a GoFundMe appeal in Tighe's name has confirmed they've closed the fundraiser and arranged for all donations to be refunded in full. They say they created the fundraiser with the sole intention of helping Tighe's family during an incredibly difficult time. Earlier concern had been raised about the page, with Undertaker Charlie McCafferty posting on social media that Tighe's family had not authorised, approved or given permission for the initiative. In a statement, GoFundMe say they swiftly identified this fundraiser yesterday and worked with the campaign organiser. No funds were released, they say, and all donors are being refunded. A 32-year-old man has been sent forward for trial at the Central Criminal Court, charged with the murder of Stephen McCahill at Bea Ardra on the 5th of January. Michael Maloney of Luckris Point in Ardra appeared before Letterkenny District Court this morning, accused of murder. The 66-year-old businessman and publican died following a fatal assault at his home. The first round of peace talks between the US and Iran in Switzerland have laid a good foundation for a final peace deal. According to the US Vice President, J.D. Vance says Iran has agreed to allow nuclear inspectors back into the country. He says they've also a process in place that will prevent the conflict between Israel and Hezbollah from escalating.
You already see the fruits of that. Over the past 24 hours, it's probably been the most peaceful that we've seen the situation in Lebanon. The previous 24 hours were pretty good. Obviously, there was some shooting about 72 hours ago. So this is a work in progress. But what we've done is actually set up the operation so that we can ensure it doesn't spiral out of control in the future.
Keir Starmer has confirmed he will resign as British Prime Minister. Speaking in Downing Street, he said a contest to replace him as UK Labour leader would be complete by the end of the summer. Pressure grew on him to quit last week when his rival, Andy Burnham, was re-elected to Westminster, a move which cleared the path for him to mount a leadership challenge. In an address earlier, Mr. Starmer confirmed his intentions.
The question my party is asking now is whether I am best placed to lead us into the next general election. I have heard the answer of my parliamentary party, and I accept that answer with good grace. That is why I will resign as leader of the Labour Party. I will remain in post as Prime Minister until the contest is complete, and I will do everything I can to ensure an orderly handover of power.
In a statement earlier, Taoiseach Micheál Martin acknowledged the significant role that Keir Starmer played in resetting the Irish-British relationship, as well as relations between the UK and the European Union. He added that during Mr. Starmer's leadership, both the Irish and British governments took the important step of publishing a joint framework on addressing the legacy of the Troubles. More than 2,300 assaults on healthcare workers have been recorded so far this year. The HSE says the total number of incidents recorded is 2,373. Nearly three quarters were physical assaults, with 1,765 of those. There were 585 cases of verbal abuse and 23 sexual assaults. The HSC CEO is Anne O'Connor.
We have other people who come in who could potentially be under the influence of something. That is an issue for us. And then we have people who come in who simply do not want to sit anywhere whilst waiting to be seen, and who can create significant difficulties in our services, in our EDs. You know, so we know the number of assaults have gone up. There's certainly something that has become worse, just completely unacceptable on all fronts. We can't have assaults. I mean, what we see, and to be fair, in our emergency departments at times, we see assaults, but not just there, in a number of our other services as well. And we have staff who turn up every day because they really care about patients. And we have, whilst we put out all of our, I suppose, our rule sets in terms of violence in our services and assaults, the reality is we know that people still come in all sorts of different ways.
A man has been remanded in custody at Derry Magistrates Court today, charged with, among other things, assaulting the former mayor of Derry, Lillian Sinoy Barr, and handing out provocative leaflets over the weekend. 28-year-old Stephen Nigel Thompson of Spencer Road in Derry appeared, charged with assaulting the former mayor and also assaulting two others, including a 15-year-old. With more, here's Ryan Brawley.
The court heard that at 11 a.m. on Saturday morning, an event was being held at a cafe run by the Northwest Migrant Forum in the Embassy Building. Lillian Sinoy Barr was addressing the gathering of about 60 people, which was by invitation only due to the current atmosphere. The defendant was said to have entered and refused to sign in, barging past a 15-year-old. Inside the gathering, the defendant was said to have started shouting about grooming gangs and handed out leaflets. Thompson was told to leave by Councillor Barr through the microphone, and he was said to have moved towards her, causing her to feel intimidated. At interview, the defendant said he was protesting legally against illegal immigrants and he didn't accept anything on the leaflets was offensive. Deputy District Judge Sean O'Hare said if the defendant did not accept he did anything wrong, there was a chance he would do it again. Bail was refused and Thompson was remanded in custody to appear again on July the 20th.
And there's more detail on HighlandRadio.com.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports. Find all your GAA essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 14 minutes to 6 o'clock. Good evening, Chris Ashmore.
Thanks, Donal. We start with Gaelic Games, and the GAA has confirmed the details for the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship quarterfinals next weekend. Cork and Mayo will throw in at 4 o'clock next Saturday at Croke Park, followed by defending champions Kerry and Tyrone at 6:15. And Louth and Monaghan will meet at the GAA headquarters on Sunday at 1:45 before the Dublin and Galway match, which will be at 4:00. So Donegal are out, having been beaten 226-222 by Dublin after extra time yesterday. Reflecting on that game, Donegal manager Jim McGuinness believes the Dubs took full advantage of a Donegal side that was tiring.
You have two men down, it's literally people are just eyeing up the person that's most fatigued and they're looking for 1v1s, and that's what happened. Like, you know, people were, you know, they were trying their best, they were trying to get there, they were trying to do everything, but, you know, you had some of the Dublin players there that were fresh on as subs, lining up fellas that had played the whole game. That's a tough spot to be in.
Well, that game between Dublin and Donegal will naturally enough be the main focus of attention on the DL debate tonight at 7 o'clock, where Brendan Devaney will be joined by Kieran Cunningham of The Star and former Donegal player Kevin Cassidy. And no doubt they will also be discussing who in the last eight is best equipped to lift Sam this year. Meanwhile, the reigning senior ladies football champions Dublin will face Cork in the quarterfinals of the Ladies All-Ireland Championship. Munster champions Kerry will face Meath. Armagh will take on Kildare. And Galway will be up against Mayo. On to soccer, and Argentina could advance to the round of 32 if they beat Austria in the 6 o'clock kickoff in the World Cup this evening. And Lionel Messi can become the all-time top scorer at a World Cup should he get on the score sheet. Later, France can also secure a place in the knockout stages. They face Iraq at 10 o'clock. However, they'll need Norway to take at least a point against Senegal tonight. Turning to the League of Ireland, and FinHarp's chairman Ian Harkin has stated that a formal expression of interest from a prospective investor could be transformative for the Donegal club. Not only is there a willingness to provide the funding requirement that the club needs to finally get the Donegal Community Stadium built in Stranorlar, but there is also the prospect of a bigger budget for playing personnel and coaching staff. Well, speaking on the Greg Hughes show this morning, Ian Harkin outlined the magnitude of the deal, which will need to go before a special general meeting of the club.
The board is 100% behind the investment at the moment, yeah. Okay. Like, we've done our due diligence on it. We've spoken with the person. He's come and he's visited. It will probably exceed any investment that has ever come into any club in either the Republic of Ireland or Northern Ireland. So it's significant. It's not something... We've taken our time to do this, and it will be on a staged basis.
Well, in the SSE Air Trustee League this evening, sixth place Derry City make the trip to Tallaght Stadium for an 8 o'clock start against top of the table Shamrock Rovers. Meanwhile, it's fourth against fifth as Bohemians make the short trip to take on Shelburne. Manchester United have secured the majority of the land needed to build their new 100,000-seater stadium, which will become the biggest sporting arena in the UK. It's understood that it's just 350 metres away from Old Trafford. United have described it as being a major milestone and are expecting no issues in acquiring the remaining land required. In rugby, Ireland international centre Stuart McCluskey has penned a new one-year contract extension with Ulster Rugby. Meanwhile, Leo Cullen will depart his role as Leinster Rugby head coach in June of 2027, and the search for a successor is already on. Cullen led the team to a seventh trophy success in his 11 years at the helm last Friday with the URC final win against the Bulls. In tennis, former Wimbledon champion Markéta Vondrousova has been banned for 4 years for refusing an anti-doping test. She was charged by the International Tennis Agency for denying a drugs test officer entry to her home last December. Finally, Derry City and Strabane District Council are encouraging the public to offer their feedback on ambitious plans for a new state-of-the-art leisure and sports complex at Buncrana Road in Derry. Plans under the Templemore Strategic Leisure Project could see the development of a 50-metre, 8-lane swimming pool with spectator seating, a range of family-friendly water play facilities, a health and wellness spa, sports facilities and outdoor pitches, as well as a running track and walking trails. That, Donal, is your Monday evening sport.
Thank you very much indeed, Chris. And the Neshon councillor has pledged to work with local groups on the peninsula as he takes on a new role helping to shape how disabled people are respected and facilitated in the coming years. Councillor Jack Murray has been appointed rapporteur in the European Committee of the Regions, leading its work on strengthening the strategy for the rights of persons with disabilities up to 2030. Councillor Murray says he's honoured to have been nominated by the committee's Alliance of Greens and Progressives. He says decisions affecting people with disabilities should never be made without their involvement.
Look, I look forward to working with disability advocacy groups here in Donegal, but also across other member states of the European Union, hearing their stories and putting together a strategy that I hope can really make a difference to people with disabilities. Because, as we know here at home, people with disabilities they face barriers in accessing to housing, in particular to transport, to employment rights, and that's just not right. It's unfair. So I hope to bring this to the heart of the European Union and develop a strategy that can make a difference.
You'll be no stranger to the barriers that face people with disabilities. I'm even thinking just in your own area of Inishowen, there's eye care and there's the Buncrana Children's Charity as well. Two organisations that do loads of work, but do be engaging with yourself anyways.
Yeah, and absolutely, that'll be my first point of call. Look, we're blessed with fantastic organisations in Inishowen do so much work for people with disabilities, work that maybe shouldn't be left to them, maybe shouldn't be left to volunteerism or to charities, and actually should be done by the state. So look, they have a voice that needs to be heard, and I hope to take that to the heart of the European Union, to Brussels. And look, I'll be singing their praises, I'll be promoting their voice, and hopefully be working with them here at home and in other countries we can make a difference. So look, it's going to be a huge body of work. It's something I'm very excited about, and I just want to get my teeth into it now.
That was Councillor Jack Murray. The Irish Hotels Federation is opposed to a tourist tax that would give local authorities the power to introduce a nightly visitor levy on paid accommodation in their area. The IHF argues this would create a double taxation on Irish citizens. Its chief executive is Paul Gallagher.
Ireland is a very expensive destination already for tourists to come to. We see Eurostat say we're the most expensive country in the EU for services. It's difficult to get here. We're an island, so you have to fly. We don't have the same advantages as other locations across Europe where you have interconnectivity with trains. And if Ireland gets too expensive, visitors may choose to go somewhere else. A tourist tax, people say, but that's no amount of money at all. Hotels pay significant money already for services provided by our local authorities, and tourists who don't have a vote shouldn't be charged. And of course, domestic citizens stay in Irish hotels. If they're coming from Cork to Dublin, they would be paying double taxation if they were to stay in a hotel. It's really not a fair system.
And finally, vulnerable people face increased challenges when reporting incidents of sexual violence. Launched today, Rape Crisis Ireland's latest report outlines how it's harder for people with disability, sexual orientation, gender identity, ethnicity and legal status. With more, here's Molly O'Connor.
Rape Crisis Ireland's report focuses on the challenge of keeping survivors safe and enabling them to report incidents, especially where systems assume a survivor can self-refer. For many survivors with disabilities, that assumption may not hold. Last year, 32.2% of survivors accessing support from the surveyed centres had at least one of the characteristics associated with greater vulnerability. Executive Director of Rape Crisis Ireland, Dr. Cliona Sadler, says they are less likely to come forward.
Nobody should ever have to choose between their care, their safety, their support, whatever form that needs to be, and accessing a specialist support service. If they're a survivor, they should be able to access that support service, and they should be able to access justice regardless of the compounding barriers, and that isn't the case right now.
Launched by Justice Minister Jim O'Callaghan, he emphasised the importance of listening to survivors.
It is extremely important that when we're developing policies to combat domestic, sexual and gender-based violence, that we listen centrally to the views of survivors of sexual abuse and assault.
The report recommends a coordinated framework that connects disclosure, safeguarding and specialist trauma support.
Mild, dry and largely clear this evening and tonight with isolated fog patches developing in light variable breezes, lows of 12 to 15 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow mostly dry with sunny spells, cloudier at times, especially in West Donegal, with isolated light showers and sea fog possible on parts of the coast. Highs tomorrow 18 to 23 degrees Celsius, mostly light westerly breezes, cooler in western parts. The main stories in brief, the former DUP leader Geoffrey Donaldson has been found guilty of historical sex offences against two women when they were children. A jury at Newry Crown Court convicted him of 18 crimes, including one count of rape between 1985 and 2008. He'll be sentenced in September. There have been significant updates today in relation to healthcare services across Inishowen. Discussions focused on developments at Buncrana Community Hospital, which is expected to go to tender now within the next 8 days. There's also to be an expansion of the Schlieffnacht Centre. It follows a meeting this afternoon between the HSC and local community representatives. And the junior sports minister has paid tribute to the teenager who lost his life in a fatal incident during the Donegal International Rally on Saturday. 15-year-old Tyke Callaghan Carter will be buried on Wednesday. Minister Charlie McConnellogue says Saturday's incident will be fully investigated, with a particular emphasis on preventing such a tragedy from happening again. We're back with news again at 7 o'clock. In the interim, check all the day's news on highlandradio.com. But for now, from the news team, good evening.
The obituary notices this Monday evening, June 22nd. The death has taken place of Tadhg Callaghan Carter, Keelogues, Churchill. Tadhg's remains will repose at his late home this evening from 7 o'clock until 11 p.m. and again tomorrow from 11 a.m. until 11 p.m. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning, going to St. Columbkill's Church, Glendowen, for Mass of the Angels at 11 a.m. followed by interment in Temple Douglas Cemetery. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. The funeral mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, to Race Against Dementia Ireland, care of Charlie McLafferty, funeral director, or any family member. The death has occurred of Stephen Foy, 11 The Weavers, Ballybuffet, reposing at his home until 9 o'clock this evening and again tomorrow from 12 noon until 9 p.m. Funeral leaving his late residence on Wednesday morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Sessionnil, followed by interment in the adjoining churchyard. The Requiem Mass can be streamed live via the parish YouTube channel. The death has taken place of Kathleen Spinks, Niamh Ferry, Tully Begram Melton, reposing at her home, which is private, please. Requiem Mass tomorrow at 12 noon in St Peter's Church, Milford, followed by burial in Tully Cemetery. Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only, please. The death has taken place of Kenneth Kerwin, number 1, New Line Road, Letterkenny, formerly of Kildare, reposing at his late residence today until Rosary at 9 o'clock. Requiem Mass tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock in St Eunan's Cathedral, followed by burial in the family plot in Newleck Cemetery. House private, please, before the funeral. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu, if wished, to the Donegal Hospice, care of Pascal Blake, funeral director. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.